Over black, strips of film reel float left and diagonally onto a black square. Blue light radiates from behind. The blue light shrinks into a halo behind the square. Words appear, New Line Cinema. A Time Warner Company. Red words appear. Sleep. Those little slices of death. How I loathe them. Edgar Allan Poe. New Line Cinema, Heron Communications Incorporated and Smart Egg Pictures present. A Robert Shea production. In red scratch font, A Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Light illuminates Dream Warriors. Starring Heather Langenkamp. On a black background, a hand opens a bag of flour and pours it into a bowl. Patricia Arquette. A wooden spoon mixes wet flour in the bowl. Larry Fishburne. Batter pours in a glass bowl on a table. A fly lingers on the rim. Priscilla Pointer and Craig Wasson. Scissors cut through a newspaper. Co-starring Brooke Bundy. Bradley Gregg. Rodney Eastman. Ira Hyden. Nan Martin. Jennifer Rubin. Ken Sagos. Penelope Soudreau. Special appearance by John Saxon. Fingers dip in the doughy mixture and wipe on the newspaper. Dick Cavett. Zsa Zsa Gabor. And Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger. The hand sticks the newspaper to wet newspapers. Casting Annette Benson, CSA. Through square gaps in a dark box, the hand smooths newspaper. A blonde woman in a white top touches the doughy newspaper. Mechanical special effects by Peter Chesney, Image Engineering Incorporated. Krueger makeup and effects, Kevin Yeager. Special makeup effects sequences, Greg Canham. Special makeup effects sequences, Mark Shostrom. Special visual effects by DreamQuest Images. Visual effects supervisor, Hoyt Eatman. Edited by Terry Stokes. Chuck Weiss. Associate producer, Nikki Marvin. Director of photography, Roy H. Wagner. The woman colors popsicle sticks with a felt pen. Her eyes close and her head drops. She glances at a clock. The little hand is on the 1 and the big hand on the 4. She spins the volume dial on a radio. She spoons brown powder from a Maxwell House jar into her mouth and chugs from a Diet Coke can. She runs the tip of a glue bottle on a green popsicle stick. Executive producers, Wes Craven, Stephen Diener, music by Angelo Badalamenti, screenplay by Wes Craven, Bruce Wagner, Chuck Russell, Frank Darabont. Her head bobbles and her eyes close. Story by Wes Craven, Bruce Wagner. Producer, Robert Shea. Director, Chuck Russell. She lifts her head and opens her eyes. In a bedroom, a woman in a sequin purple dress dashes in.
You're crazy!
Neighborhood.
Hello, Ma. Don't hi, Mommy. What are you still doing up? It's past 1.
Just thought I'd wait for you.
Well, I'm home. Now you can get to sleep. Come on. Andale.
I'm really not tired.
Kristen, don't start with me. You know what your shrink said?
He's full of it.
I'm not gonna let you get me into an argument. Not tonight. Now get to sleep.
Mom, I'm still having those awful dreams.
Elaine, where do you keep the bourbon?
I'll be right down. Honey, I've got a guest.
And you don't want to keep him waiting.
That's right. I don't.
She kisses Kristen's head, turns off her light, and leaves. Kristen adjusts her pillow and lifts her pink blanket over her. She looks across the room. A miniature popsicle stick house sits on her desk. Her eyes flicker closed. Moonlight glows on the stick house. In a dream, Wind rustles Kristen's hair. A leaf skitters on her bed, Kristen's eyes open. She looks over her headboard. Behind her bed, shadows loom over a house that resembles the stick house in Kristen's room. In slow motion in front of the house, small children play jump rope and toss a red ball. A girl rides a tricycle on a porch. Kristen stands. Kristen stands and steps toward the house. A small, well-dressed boy jumps rope. The small girl on the tricycle stares at Kristen. She wears a yellow dress.
Hi, what's your name?
Kristen, what's yours? What is this place?
I gotta go now.
Wait, little girl, don't go in there!
Kristen enters the house.
Little girl!
Inside, Kristen hurries through an entryway and scopes behind a metal door with a dark descending staircase. She wanders down the dark staircase. She looks around a basement with stacks of furniture topped with spiderwebs and dust. The little girl pedals around a corner and stops. Kristen steps closer.
This is where he takes us.
Come on, we're going.
Fire erupts in a boiler next to Kristen. Charred heaps of bones burn in flames. The little girl looks up at Kristen.
Freddy's home.
Kristen scoops the little girl up and sprints down a hall. Crooked picture frames line the walls. A shadow floods the wall behind her. She turns and runs down a corridor with light beaming through the wall. In slow motion, she treads her feet in thick black mush. She whips her head and sights Freddy down the corridor. Kristen treads in place. Freddy bounds toward her, gloved sharp hand risen. He swipes and misses. She charges forward. She turns down a corridor and runs upstairs into a room. She backs into the hanged body of a teenage girl. She turns and stumbles into the bodies of a boy and girl. Bodies dangle from the ceiling, swaying in the darkness.
Put me down, you're hurting me.
She looks at the girl cradled in her arms. She holds a charred corpse. Kristen bolts upright in bed. Her face glistens with sweat. She gazes around the room. She throws off her blankets, sits at the edge of the bed, and leaves her room. In a bathroom, she flips on a light and lifts the sleeves of her top. Kristen grabs a four-prong handle to the sink. The handle grasps her hand. Steam fills the air. She gasps and looks in a mirror. Freddy's face grins back at her. The handle twists her hand over. Another faucet handle stretches into Freddy's claw hand. Finger razors grow. The claw hand rises up and slashes. A spray of blood splatters on the mirror. The door opens.
Kristen!
Kristen turns to her mother. She holds a razor blade. Blood oozes from her wrist. She collapses. Daytime, an iron fence surrounds a gothic multi-wing structure. A sign reads Weston Hills Psychiatric Hospital.
And in local news, two more teenage deaths have occurred, both suicides. County health officials are at a loss to explain this alarming trend.
In a hallway.
Nothing like a little cheery news to start the day, huh?
Yeah. Say, listen, Doc. I got a new theory about all these suicides, right?
Don't hold back on us, Max. We need all the help we can get.
Yeah, fucked up chromosomes, man. Think about it. All their parents dropped acid during the 60s.
Well, it beats Sim's theory. She thinks it's nothing but sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Shit, that's what keeps people alive.
Hi, Terry. You don't look so hot, kid. Are you getting some sleep? I didn't think so.
Good morning, Dr. Gordon.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are the burns?
Regular menthol ultralight.
They're healing up nicely.
Yeah, I've been good. So, when do I get my cigarette privileges back?
Don't hold your breath.
Hey, Dad.
The doctor looks in a quiet room. A teen boy sits arms crossed huddled on the floor. A woman in a white lab coat strolls up.
How is he?
He's cooling down.
If he continues having these outbursts, I'll have to have him isolated permanently.
Oh, don't worry, it won't come to that. I read the report on the new staff member.
Oh, what'd you think?
Frankly, I don't understand why some grad school superstar is being treated like a seasoned pro.
She's been doing groundbreaking research on pattern nightmares.
Elizabeth, we don't need any outside help. I know these kids. I don't want some hot shot taking chances with them just so she can get published.
Dr. Gordon, Dr. Sims to examination staff.
They dart down the hallway.
Sims to examination staff.
This is ridiculous. I know my own daughter. She's just trying to get some attention, that's all. And I'm not going to play one of her little games with her.
Suicide attempt. They just brought her down from County General.
What's her name?
Kristen Parker. She was fine until we tried to sedate her.
They enter the examination room. Kristen throws equipment at a male nurse.
Watch it, George stitches out.
Kristen, we want to help you.
The nurse restrains Kristen. The doctor fills a syringe.
I'm Dr. Gordon. I'm not going to hurt you. I want to help you.
Kristen kicks Dr. Gordon. She grabs a scalpel. She cuts Max's arm.
Back off, Max. Kristen, put the scalpel down. Nobody's going to hurt you.
Kristen grips the scalpel tight.
5, 6, grab your crucifix. 7, 8, better stay up late. 9, 10, never sleep again.
A young woman with a white streak in her hair stands in the doorway. She enters.
Where did you learn that rhyme?
The woman takes the scalpel from Kristen. Kristen embraces her. Outside, the woman strolls with Dr. Gordon.
Tell me about the kids.
Well, they're survivors in a way. They're all severely sleep disordered. Insomnia, narcolepsy, bedwetting.
But the nightmares are the common thread.
Right. They seem to share a group delusion, a boogeyman, for lack of a better word. They're so traumatized that they'll do almost anything not to sleep.
Anything?
He gestures to a bench. They sit.
We lost a kid about a month ago to Fairview. I don't know where he got the razors, but he cut off his own eyelids to stay awake.
Oh, God.
Shook the kids up pretty badly. Oh, by the way, that was really great work with a new patient. Pretty smooth for an intern.
I have had some experience with pattern nightmares. I've got to get going.
Her bag falls. Dr. Gordon picks up a pill bottle. It reads Hypnosil.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Now, be sure that you check in with Max, and he'll give you the whole 25-cent tour and everything.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right. Oh, Miss Thompson?
You can call me Nancy.
All right. You call me Neil, all right? What was that nursery rhyme all about?
That was just something that the kids say to keep the boogeyman away.
Nancy leaves. Neil looks down a crowded walkway. A nun stands in a white habit facing him. People proceed in the walkway. The nun is gone. He furrows his brow. In the hospital, Vax strolls with Nancy.
Anyway, that's group therapy. This whole wing is devoted to the program. You can use this office for the time being, okay?
That should be fine.
All right, great. Because I have you set up in your own space by the end of the week. Patient's room's down this way.
They enter a purple room.
This is Philip. We call him the Walker.
Why is that?
Because I sleepwalk. Perfectly normal event that our illustrious staff loves to theorize about endlessly.
Philip, this is Nancy.
Hi. Welcome to the snake pit.
Thanks. Nice work.
They really ought to be carved out of wood, but they won't let me have a knife.
A marionette hangs.
I might, you know.
He gestures a slash on his wrist.
This lump over here, this is Kincaid, and I want you to take a good look. See, he gets himself thrown in a quiet room so often that you probably won't see a whole lot of him. Ain't that right, Cool Breeze?
Right. I do it so I don't have to look at your ugly face all the time.
Yeah, I love you too.
Nice meeting you.
Nancy and Max leave.
Yeah, they're really good kids, but don't let them fool you. They're dangerous to themselves and to each other.
A teenage boy watches them from around a corner. A woman wheels a cart with folded towels into a hallway. Towels fall.
Hi, Joey.
He picks up towels.
Why, thank you.
Hey, Marcy, how you doing?
Great.
You just want to say what?
Yeah.
Come on, I'll walk you down.
See you later, Joey.
She smiles and waves. Joey presses his back against the wall. He wears a collared shirt. A tattoo of a teardrop sits below his eye, in Kristen's house.
Mrs. Parker, was Kristen acting any different? Did you notice anything strange before she made the attempt?
Kristen specializes in strangeness. I've spent thousands on psychiatrists.
Did she always have nightmares?
No, they've gotten worse since I took away her credit cards.
I'm serious.
Miss Thompson, I don't know what you want from me.
Just some answers. There are other kids involved, not just Kristen. All good kids, smart kids.
Look, I'm sorry to hear that, but you're the experts on this, not me. If I had any insight into any of this, I would share them with you. Believe me.
I'm sure you would.
If you'll excuse me, I have to get downtown.
I'll need to get her things.
I had them packed in a suitcase. Teresa! Teresa!
I'll get them, please. I don't mind.
It's the first door at the top of the stairs.
Nancy advances up the stairs. Large potted plants stand along the staircase. In Kristen's room, a suitcase sits on the bed. Nancy looks over and slowly moves to the desk. She stares at the popsicle stick house. Nighttime, in Neil's house, wearing glasses, he sits at a computer in a study and scrolls through text. On the computer. Hypnosil FDA classification, experimental, effective for management of psychotic disorders. For sedation where dreamless sleep is considered optimal, suppression of night terror, Neil removes his glasses, glowers, and leans back in his chair. He shuts off the computer. In the hospital, Kristen lies in bed. With a charcoal pencil and paper, she sketches the house in her dream. She nods her head and her eyes flutter closed. She opens her eyes, the door to her room swings open. The tricycle rolls into the room, it leaves bloody tire tracks and stops by the edge of her bed. Kristen rises. Smoke floats off the tricycle, it warps and sags to the floor. Kristen edges past the tricycle, and out of the room, the door slams. Kristen stands in the house from her dream, the Elm Street house. She pulls on the door, she turns and searches the room. She walks into a dining room. On a table set for a formal dinner, rotted remains of a roast pig sit on a platter covered in flies. She grimaces, dim light fills the room from a window, decaying wallpaper hangs from the walls. The pig jerks up at her. She backs into a dark living room barren with no furniture. A sconce flickers on, she jerks her head around. She watches the floor and stands on a large oriental rug. A large lump forms under the rug and worms toward her. The shape slithers in the walls, lath and plaster crumble in its wake. Kristen turns and views the floor around her. A slimy worm creature of Freddy bursts through the floor and engulfs Kristen's legs. Freddy slams her onto her back and swallows her. In Nancy's apartment, Nancy rests in a chair, her eyes flutter open, she stands.
Nancy!
On a counter sits an Elm Street stick house. She touches her head, closes her eyes and falls through her chair. She bursts through a mirror, and into the house on Elm Street. Nancy grabs a shard of broken mirror and jabs it into Freddy's eye. Freddy retreats, Kristen falls out of his mouth. Freddy arcs back, he glares at Nancy.
Oh my God!
Run! They run out and slam the door.
Back out, Kristen! Quit now!
The door explodes. In Nancy's apartment, she thrashes awake. She looks at a cut on her palm. Daytime. Nancy enters the hospital with the Elm Street House model under her arm.
I used to live in this house.
That's just a house I dream about.
Have you ever done that before? Pull someone into your dream? When I was a little girl, like 4 or 5. If I had a nightmare, I'd always bring my dad in. Dreams would always get better. He used to tell me about it the next day. He used to think they were his dreams.
Well, when did that stop?
When I was still a kid. My folks got divorced. And after a while, I just thought I imagined the whole thing. But I guess I didn't.
It's an amazing gift.
Man of my dreams. He's real, isn't he?
He's real.
Okay, group's in session. Straight talk only in this room.
Today I'd like to start getting us acquainted with our new staff member, Nancy Thompson. Let's make her all welcome.
Hi, Nancy.
Now, you've already met Philip and Kincaid and, of course, Kristen. How about the rest of you all tell Nancy something about yourselves? Will, how about you first?
Hi, I'm Will Stanton, and, I've had a little accident, as you can see. Ended up in this chair.
Accident my ass. I thought you said this was supposed to be straight talking here.
Hey, so he took a jump. At least he wasn't sticking needles in his arm with a bunch of lowlives.
Save it, Kincaid. Jennifer?
I'm Jennifer Caulfield. And as soon as I get out of here, I'm going to Los Angeles to be an actress. I'm going to be on TV.
Yeah, lifestyle of the rich and psychotic.
Screw you. This is Joey. He used to be a debater in school, but now he doesn't talk much.
He waves.
I'm Taryn White. The only reason I'm in here is because it's a better deal than juvie hall. Also, because I'm going through some very strange shit.
Your dreams. Everybody has bad dreams.
Can I interject something here just to save us all some time?
Sure, Philip. Go ahead.
Well, according to our kind hosts, our dreams are a group psychosis, sort of a mellow mass hysteria. The fact that we all dreamt about this guy before we ever met doesn't seem to impress anybody.
Yeah. That's right.
So we go in circles, making minimal progress with maximum effort.
You won't make any progress until you recognize your dreams for what they are.
And what are they?
The byproducts of guilt. Psychological scars stemming from moral conflicts and overt sexuality.
Oh, great. Now it's my dick that's killing me.
Nighttime, at the hospital, Taryn Will and Joey play Dungeons and Dragons.
Tell me what's supposed to be happening again.
Okay, you're being attacked by the bog demon. Go ahead.
14?
Doesn't count. You gotta say the words.
This is stupid.
Oh, come on.
Taryn takes a drag off a cigarette and rolls her eyes.
In the name of Lorik, Prince of Elves, demon be gone.
Good. Conquer the demon. But your horse is sinking in the bog. What do you do?
I go to bed. And get a new horse in the morning.
How do I score that? Enchanted slumber or death?
Joey gestures a throat cut.
All right, fellas. Lights out.
Aw, Max.
Oh, Max. You know the rules.
Yeah.
Come on, Joey, you too.
Every time we get a good game going, it's always lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Max lifts Will into bed, shifts his legs, and covers him with a blanket.
Okay.
Night, Max. Okay, you get first shift to me. Oh, come on, I had it last night. Good. Just remember, keep your eyes open, and one whimper, and you wake me up, okay?
Joey walks over and sits in a chair by a desk. In a restaurant, Neil and Nancy sit in a booth.
This is nice.
You never been here before?
No, I think they opened this when I was at school.
Best Thai food in Springwood. Of course, it's the only Thai food in Springwood. Do your parents still live around here?
My mother passed away. She died in her sleep.
I'm sorry.
My father and I, well, things just seemed to fall apart after that.
Sounds like a rough time.
It was. Neil, what if I told you that, your patients are in real physical danger from their dreams?
The nightmares are nothing but a symptom of the real problems.
All right, well, then let's just eliminate the symptom for the time being.
With Hypnocell?
That's right.
You want me to prescribe an experimental psychoactive drug to a bunch of suicidal teenagers?
Just until we get things under control.
Dream deprivation is nothing to fool around with. You have no business taking it yourself.
I used to be like them, Neil. I know what they're going through.
So do I.
You told me they were survivors. And they are. But how much longer they survive is up to us.
I'm sorry, Nancy. The answer's no.
In Philip and Kincaid's room, the boys lie in their beds. Moonlight glows over a collection of marionettes. A dinosaur, robot, and unfinished clay and cloth hang on the wall. The clay and cloth marionette's head moves, the clay face transforms into Freddy's. The clay hand transforms into fingers and razor claws. Freddy grins at Philip. Freddy swipes his hand over his head, cutting the strings. He lands on the floor and staggers toward Philip's bed. Philip stirs and opens his eyes. Freddy grows life-size. Freddy lifts a finger to his lips. Philip opens his mouth to scream. The blanket snaps off Philip's body, flicking downward. Freddy cuts clean incisions the length of each arm and leg. Long strands of muscled tissue leap out of incisions, his strands tighten and lift him from the bed.
Philip.
Kincaid wakens and watches unharmed Philip lurch.
Philip, wake up.
Palms raised, Philip hobbles out of the room.
Have a nice stroll, asshole.
Kincaid closes his eyes. In the hallway, staggering, Philip's arms and legs lift and lower from his muscled tissue. Blood drips on the linoleum floor. Philip staggers forward, bloody muscle strings protrude from his bare feet. At a station, a nurse writes on paper, food sits on a metal tray. Philip walks past unharmed. He staggers to a padlocked door and dissolves through. Joey reads a book, he double takes out the window. Outside, Philip stands on the ledge of the bell tower. Joey runs to Will and drags him to the window.
What? What are you doing? Hey, come on, man! What, crazy? Oh, shit! What's he doing? Get help!
Joey runs.
Philip!
Will swings a lamp and breaks the glass. He grabs the wire window.
Philip!
Philip totters on the ledge. Joey sprints to the nurse's station.
Joey!
He gestures.
What's the matter?
He grabs the metal tray and bursts down the hallway. He slams doors with the tray as he runs. Doors open. Taryn and Kincaid run to Will's room.
Philip! Doctor! Philip! God, stop!
Philip!
They grasp at the window. On the ledge, Philip teeters back and forth from his strings. A giant Freddy looms over the hospital. He puppets Philip with his fingers. Freddy cuts the strings with his razors. Philip plunges. Daytime in a therapy room. The teens sit in a circle.
I want us to talk about what happened last night. I want us to all get our feelings out in the open.
He wasn't strong enough, so he got wasted. That's all.
That's all? Is that what you think?
He couldn't hack it, so he got nailed. Period.
Oh, yeah. Big, tough badass. How long are you gonna last?
I'm gonna last longer than any of you.
Well, just go ahead and fight, because that's what he wants.
Who?
Who do you think? What does he want?
Turn us against each other so we'll be weak. Easy prey.
Oh, shit.
No, she's right.
I think we're all missing the point here. Philip's death was a sleepwalking accident, nothing more.
Oh, I could see him up there. His face. He was wide awake. All the way down.
Well, then it was suicide. Philip quit. He gave up.
Joey says it wasn't suicide.
Listen to me, Joey. Philip killed himself. Now, that's a cowardly thing. That's an empty thing. He let himself down. He let all of us down.
It was murder. Can't you understand that? That bastard murdered him. I'm not going to listen to any more of this. How much longer are you going to go on blaming your dreams for your own weakness?
Later, how much longer are you going to keep blowing smoke up our ass?
That's enough, Kincaid.
There will be no repeat occurrences of last night's events. From now on, your doors will be locked during sleeping hours. We'll start a policy of evening sedation for everybody.
The fuck you will! Anybody tries drugs on me, get his ass kicked!
You just bought yourself a night in the quiet room, mister. Now sit down!
Fuck you! You sit down!
Easy, Kincaid.
Nobody gonna put me to sleep! Man, get away from me, man. Let me alone, man. I don't want to go to sleep. Ain't nobody gonna put me to sleep. I don't want to go to sleep. Man, ain't nobody gonna put me to sleep. Get your hand. I ain't gonna sleep with
everybody
nobody.
Stay in your seats.
Man, get your hand off me. I won't go.
We'll begin sedation tonight, starting with him.
Oh, you can't. They'll be defenseless against their dreams.
But that's precisely what they need. Some uninterrupted REM sleep to release all that negative energy.
Elizabeth, I'm prescribing Hypnosil. It's a dream suppressant.
I know what it is. I just can't believe what I'm hearing. What has she talked you into?
Nothing. They're my patients. It's my decision. I want these dreams stopped until we get some answers.
I can't allow that.
Then I'll go straight to Carver if I have to, and he'll either back me up or accept my resignation.
All right. But if something goes wrong, I'll make sure that you're held responsible. I mean that. Fully responsible.
Can't believe I just said that.
Do you think we can get the hypnosil by tomorrow?
We're gonna try. I hope you know what you're getting us into.
He leaves. In the quiet room, Kincaid sits crouched in the shadows.
Ain't gonna dream no more, no more. Ain't gonna dream no more. All night long I sing this song. Ain't gonna dream no more.
In the TV room, Jennifer wears PJs and sits on a sofa. Max enters.
Girl, what are you doing?
Watching TV.
I can see that. Why don't you read a book? You watch too much damn TV.
Research.
Oh, right. You're gonna be a TV star.
Wait and see.
Yeah, well, if Sims catches you here after the lights out, she's gonna cheat my ass.
I gotta stay on Max.
Jennifer.
Just tonight. Please. I can't handle the nightmare. Not after Philip. Not tonight.
Okay. But I never saw you.
Thanks, Max.
Great meal, Mrs. Brown. Really one of the best I've ever had.
Thanks. Thank you, Steve.
Nighttime in the hallway, twirling a set of keys, a male nurse smokes with a name tag that reads Lorenzo. He leans by the women's restroom. Rubbing her wet hair with a towel, Taryn enters the hallway.
Hi, sweet stuff. Good news.
Can't be good news coming from you.
Pulled night duty.
So?
So? Got the keys to heaven, baby.
What?
The dispensary. I am talking clean pharmaceutical high, a night at Club Meth.
I don't do that shit.
Yeah? What are those, beauty marks?
Those are ancient history.
Oh, yeah? Well, if you're ever in the mood for a history lesson, I'm your teacher, understand?
Stay out of my face, or I'll go straight to Max.
Oh, yeah? Now, who's going to take the word of a crazy junkie chick like you?
Fuck off!
He smirks, exhales a puff, and leaves. In the TV room, Jennifer's eyes flicker closed, she jerks.
We're defending the championship, you know?
On a coffee table, she reaches into a bowl and clasps a cigarette. She fumbles under the coffee table with her hand and lifts a matchbook. She lights the cigarette. She puffs, holds it out, and looks at the back of her hand.
What do I want to see an old barn for?
Come on.
She burns her hand. She lifts a remote, channels flash on the TV. She stops on the Dick Cavett show. He interviews Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Ask you, but how many of what did they have to kill?
Don't say that because I love animals and I've seen animal shadows. I bought it already red with black in it, so I didn't know what it was.
Probably from an artificial bird. Did you ever go to any kind of acting school?
Not in the beginning. I started on a talk show, you know.
But when a young actress says, how do you succeed in this business, you don't always say you have to study.
I think you should study. Study, work, and then maybe you can make it.
Can I ask you something?
Jennifer nods off.
Who gives a fuck what you think?
Dick turns into Freddy. He raises his razor claw. The TV sputters to snow. Jennifer points the remote. She stiffly stands and trots to the TV. In front of the TV, she reaches up and turns a knob. She hits the TV. Razor robotic claws bark out the sides of the TV and lift her. Freddy's head grows out of the top of the TV set, wearing the rabbit ear antenna.
This is it, Jennifer. Your big break in TV. Oh,
the prime time, bitch!
He smashes her head in the TV, Max enters, Jennifer hangs above the floor, her head stuck in the TV. Daytime, under a large oak tree in a cemetery, Neil leans against a tree and watches a funeral by a cluster of gravestones.
Don't be ashamed, young man. This is a place for sorrow.
The nun joins him.
What faith do you find?
Science, I suppose.
A sad choice.
There are times when it doesn't offer much comfort.
Neil glances at the crowd at the funeral.
I've seen you before, sister.
Mary Helena.
You do volunteer work at the hospital.
From time to time, when I'm needed.
The crowd disperses from the funeral.
I should have been able to save them.
Only one thing can save the children. The unquiet spirit must be laid to rest. It is an abomination to God and to man.
Neo?
Nancy wears a black wool hat and gray shawl.
Excuse me, sister.
What are you doing up here?
I was just talking to...
To who?
The nun is gone.
Doesn't matter.
Are you ready to go now?
Sure.
Neil wraps his arm around Nancy's shoulder and they walk away. In Nancy's house by a fireplace, plates with food and wine glasses sit near Nancy and Neil.
Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I'm not hungry.
That's okay.
Neil focuses on an ornate figurine on the fireplace mantle.
That's pretty. What is that?
She picks up the figurine.
This is my Malaysian dream doll. It's supposed to bring good dreams.
You use some of that right about now.
She sits on a sofa, Neil looks out a window, shadows from mini blinds bathe his face.
You know, I used to think I could do something for the kids, make some kind of difference. But they're slipping through my fingers, everyone.
You're doing the best you can for them, Neil.
I'm running out of answers. A patient sleepwalks out of a high security ward. Girl alone in a room dies. I can't believe this is happening. Nothing makes any sense.
Nancy leans forward.
Maybe you're ready.
For what?
The truth.
Try me.
Only if you're willing to put aside everything you've learned and trust me. Can you do that?
Daytime in the therapy room.
Okay. Straight talk only in this room.
Is this group?
Well, yeah, unofficially.
Pretty soon there won't be enough of us left to call it group.
Okay, listen up, you guys. Nancy has something to say.
I know who's trying to kill you.
Don't humor us. We're not in the mood.
He wears a dirty brown hat. He's horribly burned. He has razors on his right hand. Who is he? His name is Freddy Krueger. He was a child murderer before he died. And after he died, well, he became something worse. 6 years ago, he killed my friends. He almost killed me.
Why is he after us?
Yeah. And what did we do? It's not you. Your parents, my parents, they burned him alive. And now we're paying for their sins. You are the last of the Elm Street children.
Mom and Dad,
mean, that's crazy. They never mentioned anything.
Oh, sure. That's the sort of thing parents tell their kids. Good night, darling. Say your prayers. And, oh, by the way, your father and I torched some maniac last night.
So what we do about this creep?
Kristen is the key. She has a very special talent, a gift.
I haven't been able to do that since I was a little girl.
You did it the other night. That was different. You never lose a gift like that. You just forget how to use it. How about it? Will you try?
Kristen nods.
All of you have this inner strength. Some special power that you've had in your most wonderful dreams. Together, we can learn to use that power if we try.
You sound like Peter Pan.
Remember, open mind.
Okay. Taryn, would you pull the shades down, please? We're going to try a little group hypnosis.
Darkness fills the room. Neil proceeds to a desk. He touches a pendulum.
I want you all to follow this pendulum with your eyes.
The pendulum sways rhythmically.
Tune out everything else. Nothing else exists but the pendulum.
Take us there, Kristen.
Breathe deeply and relax. Starting with your toes, relax everything till there's no tension left in your bodies. Keep following the pendulum.
Light flashes from the pendulum.
You find yourselves getting tired. Nothing would feel better right now than a nice, long, deep sleep. I'm going to count backwards from five. When I finish, you will all be asleep. Five, four, three, two, one.
Joey closes his eyes. Kincaid's eyes close. Nancy, Will, Taryn, and Kristen's eyes close. Their eyes flutter open and they shift in their seats.
Sorry. That's okay. We'll try again.
Everybody take five. I was willing to go through with this for the kids' peace of mind and yours, but you're going to have to face reality.
Joey stands at a water cooler in the hallway. The nurse, Marcy, tilts her head at him.
No, I'm serious. I happen to be very susceptible to hypnosis. I've been told by professionals.
Where are these professionals?
Well, professionals as in, like, magic users and illusionists.
He follows her in the hallway. She smiles and waves by a bedroom. Joey walks to the room.
Listen, Joey, I just wanted to get you alone for a second. I mean, look, I really like you. Do you like me? I know this sounds crazy, but I make up excuses to come into the ward every day just to see you. You're so cute.
In the therapy room, Neil lifts a ball to a balance pendulum.
Neil, let's just try one more time. If it doesn't work, I promise I'll...
The balls from the pendulum float in the air.
We're here.
We're here.
We're in the dream.
Well, no, we're not. We're still here in the group.
Will stands from his wheelchair.
In my dreams, I can walk. My legs are strong. In my dreams, I am the wizard master.
He catches a ball, slides his hand over his fist, and a butterfly emerges from a green glow.
Try something, Kristen. What can you do in your dream?
Kristen stands, pushes a chair to a wall, runs, and front handsprings with a backflip. Kincaid lifts a chair, flexes, and bends the metal legs.
Kincaid, please. That's very unnerving.
Hey, check out Taryn.
In my dreams, I'm beautiful.
She flips open pocket knives.
And bad.
Look, I could get into a lot of trouble for this.
In the bedroom, Marcy flips her blonde hair.
But I know you won't say anything, will you?
He shakes his head.
I'm Sydney.
She turns her back to him. He unzips her dress. She removes the dress, revealing her bare breasts and white thong.
Do you like my body, Joey?
Mouth open, he nods. She lays him back against the bed and crawls on top of him. She fingers his hair and kisses him. He grimaces. She bites and backs away from him, pulling his tongue longer. He grabs his tongue. She flicks her head back, tongues fly from her mouth, and wrap his wrists and legs against the tubular headboard and footboard. Wearing a brown hat and red and green striped sweater, Freddy stands.
What's wrong, Joey? Feeling tongue-tied?
The mattress descends beneath him. It falls through a skeleton-lined tunnel into a pit of fire. The tongues slither around Joey's wrists. Joey opens his mouth, glances below and squirms. Fire glows beneath him. In the therapy room, lamps spark out.
What's happening?
He's close. Oh, Freddy? He's heavy in the halls.
Where's Joey?
Freddy's got him.
Neil runs for the door. The doorknob glows red and burns him.
Quiet, everyone! Listen.
They look up. A red light flashes.
The room's changing.
The door bubbles and melts.
Get away from the wall!
Nancy lifts the blinds. The window explodes. The walls by the desk burn. Bones and debris burn on the floor. The walls crumble. The group huddle back to back in the middle of the room. A metal cylinder closes in around them. Kincaid pushes against the wall, his hands burn. Elizabeth enters.
What's going on in here?
They sit, eyes closed.
What's wrong with Joey?
Joey lies on the floor.
Joey!
She lifts his eyelid.
Code blue!
Oh my god.
Neil leaves. In a hospital care room, Joey lies with a breathing tube. A doctor speaks to a man in a dark suit.
He's in a deep coma. There's nothing we can do for him.
This is inexcusable.
The session was unauthorized. It was purposely conducted without my knowledge.
Unusual steps were called for, Dr. Carver.
Is that what I should tell that young man's parents? I understand you prescribed a highly experimental drug.
Dr. Carver, he's not in a coma because
Young lady, your opinion is of no interest to me. Furthermore, according to Dr. Sims, you've been creating panic among the patients.
That's not true.
Dr. Gordon, in the last 4 days, we've had 2 suicides, and now that young man is in a coma. I think it's safe to say that your approach has failed entirely. You're both relieved of duty. I want you out of here today.
I'm sorry, Neil. I'm afraid you brought it on yourself.
For God's sake, Elizabeth, please, will you please just try to help the kids? Will you listen to them?
Of course I will.
She leaves. Neil looks at Joey.
What are we going to do?
There's nothing that we can do. It's out of our hands.
Nighttime, in the parking lot of the hospital, Neil carries a cardboard box to a car. He opens the trunk and slides the box in. Papers fall from the box. He picks up a large photo of Jennifer, Philip, and Neil on a picnic blanket. He scoops the papers up and gawks at the bell tower. The nun stands in the bell tower.
Sister!
She leaves. He slams his trunk and darts around the side of the hospital. He stands by a wooden door. He wiggles the knob. He reaches and picks up a rock. He smashes the knob. He enters. In a dark water-stained stairwell, Neil ascends stairs. A steel door closes at the top of the stairwell. Pigeons flutter around Neil. He enters a dark cavernous room. Flaking cement pillars stand dusted in spider webs.
Sister?
Rusted remains of bed frames and scraps of wood litter the floor. He steps through the room and eyes the old remains.
Hello?
The nun kneels and lights a candle before a small altar.
Sister?
She bows her head and stands.
This is where it began.
The swing's been closed for years. What was this place?
Purgatory. Fashioned by the hands of men. Twisted, lonely souls. The worst of the criminally insane were locked up in here like animals.
This whole facility was shut down in the 40s, wasn't it? Some sort of scandal?
The young girl on the staff was accidentally locked in here over the holidays. The inmates kept her hidden for days. She was raped hundreds of times. When they found her, she was barely alive. And with child. That girl was Amanda Krueger. Her child,
Freddy.
The bastard son of 100 maniacs. Some say he was murdered, though no body was ever found.
You said something before about laying him to rest.
You must find the remains and bury him in hallowed ground.
Hallowed ground? Sister?
If your only faith is science, Doctor, it may be you that's laid to rest.
Wait! Sister!
The door begins to close. Neil dashes to catch it. Mouth agape and brow raised, he leaves. In the hospital care room, Nancy sits at Joey's bedside.
Go of him, you bastard.
Short slashes crisscross his chest.
Oh my God.
In bloody letters, the slashes spell out come and get him, bitch. Nighttime, cars drive on a boulevard.
I've got to go in. We don't have a choice.
Getting yourself killed won't help the kids at all. Besides, we do have a choice.
Assuming your mysterious nun is right.
I've heard weirder things this week.
She gawks at him.
All right. Whoever she does seem to know more about Kruger than I do.
The question is, what happened to his body?
They burned him to death in his boiler room, and they hid the remains.
Who would know where they're hidden?
Only one man knows. And it's time for him to talk.
In the hospital.
You can't take Nancy away from us! You can't! She's over here!
You're a sick girl, Kristen. If you want to get better, you must trust me now!
Kristen elbows Lorenzo in the face and hurls a stapler at Elizabeth. She misses. Max and Lorenzo grab Kristen. Kincaid, Taryn, and Will watch in the hallway.
All right, everybody. Back to bed.
In a dive bar, a neon sign reads, Little Nemo's, a man plays pool by a bar. Neil and Nancy enter. They stride to a man in a security uniform. He sits alone at a table.
Hi, Daddy.
His head rested on his hand. He looks up and smiles.
Well, if it isn't my little girl. My baby come to see your daddy? Huh?
They hug.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. But you're here, sit down. What did I do to get so lucky? I thought that you were trying to forget me.
That's not true. You're the one who's trying to forget.
Oh, come on.
He lifts a shot.
I need your help, Dad. Kruger's back.
Fred Kruger is dead. You always had a little trouble trying to understand that, sweetheart.
You know what he did. He's doing it again.
She's telling me the truth.
I don't believe we've ever met, friend, and I don't think this is any of your goddamn business.
I think we can stop him this time. Stop him for good. But we need to know where his bones were hidden.
I've lost too much over this already. I'm through with it.
People are still dying after all this time. Stop running away from it. You owe me.
Nice seeing you again, Princess. Next time, don't stay away so long.
She stomps away.
Nancy.
I'll be okay. Just give me a minute.
Neil checks his beeper.
That's the hospital.
He rounds the corner. By a payphone, he drops in a coin and lifts the receiver.
Gordon?
Sure?
You've got to come right away. It's Kristen. She had a total shit attack. Sims doped her up and put her in the quiet room.
Sims put Kristen in the quiet room for the night. They sedated her.
Oh, no.
She can't stay awake for long. She's all alone in there. Freddy's gonna get her.
Okay, none of you panic. Just stay cool.
Well, help is on the way.
Just hurry.
Okay.
We're gonna get there now.
You go. I'm gonna get the remains.
It's no use. You see how he is.
I'll talk to him. You just get to the hospital. Make Sims understand.
You'll never understand. I gotta get to Kristen somehow.
Nancy, be careful.
She steals her jaw and leaves. Fist clenched, Neil storms by the bar.
My name is Neil Gordon. Pleased to meet you. There now, we've met!
He flips the table.
Now listen to me! I don't know if you care whether Nancy lives or dies, but I do! You and I are going on a little scavenger hunt.
In the quiet room, Kristen leans on the wall and bubbles.
God, don't make me sleep.
In the car, Nancy drives and checks her watch. In a pickup, Mr. Thompson and Neil stop by a church.
What the hell are we doing here? Hey.
Neil takes his keys and booze bottle.
It won't be long.
Neil pours the booze on a sidewalk and enters the church. Inside, a man and woman kneel in pews. Neil strides down the aisle. He views a holy water font off a wing of the church. He lifts the lid of the font and places the booze bottle in the holy water bowl. He caps the bottle and leaves. He runs behind the altar of the church and peeks over a line of prayer candles by a decorative wrought iron partition. A small crucifix cross hangs above the candles. He takes the cross and stuffs it in his jacket.
What do you think you're doing?
Look, sorry. I really need this. I got, I'll reimburse you. Here, you can keep my driver's license. I'll be back.
The priest looks down at the license. In the hospital, Nancy steps out of an elevator and treks down the hallway. Max blocks her.
Max, I need to see Kristen. You don't understand.
Look, Miss Thompson, save your breath. Dr. Sims gave me specific instructions. No one gets to see Kristen, especially you.
But Max, she needs me. She's in danger. You gotta believe me.
Listen. I really think you mean well. I do, but my kid's been dying off. And even if I didn't have orders from Sims, I wouldn't let you near her, no way.
Okay, Max, I understand. Can I say goodbye to the others?
I don't know.
It'll be my last chance.
Okay, you got 5 minutes. They're in the TV room.
In the TV room.
Ben, we've been going crazy.
There's no time for that. Come on.
Where?
Our last group.
Kincaid wheels Will out. Taryn takes a drag and steps out. Nighttime, in a salvage yard, Mr. Thompson and Neil drive up in the pickup truck.
In there. You know nobody would ever find it in that place. I'm not sure I can find it myself anymore.
Mr. Thompson exits the truck and stomps to a rusted old sign that reads Penny Brothers Auto Salvage. Neil scoots over to the driver's seat. Mr. Thompson unlocks the gate and gestures to Neil. He sits in the truck.
All right, it's deep in the heart of the place. Take it slow.
They proceed into a glittering graveyard of rusted and mangled cars. In the therapy room.
Straight talk only in here. What about Kristen? We can't get to her. I tried. I was hoping we'd have more time to learn to use the dreams. But Joey's in there. And Kristen's going in with or without us. They need us.
You mean we're gonna try to go in with her? To link up?
It's now or never. I'm not gonna kid you. This is as dangerous as it gets. If you die in this dream, it's for real. Nobody has to go in that doesn't want to.
Kincaid glances at Taryn.
I'm in.
Me too.
Let's go kick the motherfucker's ass all over dreamland.
Yeah!
Remember, you have to stay together whatever happens. It's the only way we can beat him.
She turns off a lamp on a desk. She touches the pendulum, a light glows.
All right, clear your mind of everything.
She swings the pendulum.
Picture yourself in the quiet room, the soft white walls, the total silence, only the sound of your heart beating.
Picture yourself there with Kristen. I'm gonna count backwards from five. And when I'm done, we'll all be asleep. We'll all be in the quiet room.
Taryn's eyes flicker closed.
Four,
Will and Kincaid's eyes close.
Three, two,
in the quiet room, Kristen closes her eyes. She slumps in the corner and opens her eyes.
Nancy, I knew you'd come.
I don't think we let you go in alone, do you?
No way. We're a team.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody. Joey needs us. I can feel him.
Where is he?
How do we find him, Kristen?
Huge razors slash through the cotton wall padding. Cotton fluff flies around them. A blizzard of cotton fluff fills the room. Fluff fades over Kristen in her bedroom at her desk. She draws on popsicle sticks. She gawks at her room. Her mom enters. She wears a purple sequin dress.
Wake up the whole neighborhood. What are you still doing up? It's past one.
I just thought I'd wait for you.
Well, I'm home. You can get to sleep now. Come on. Andale.
Kristen hugs her mom.
What's that for?
Just glad you're home.
Kristen tucks in bed.
Mom, I had the most awful dream.
Elaine, where do you keep the bourbon?
I'll be right down. Chris, I've got a guest.
Please, Mom, I just don't want to be alone.
She's yanked out the doorway.
I said, where's the fucking bourbon?
Freddy swipes his razors and decapitates her mother.
You should listen to your mother.
God damn it, Kristen, you ruin everything. Every time I bring a man home, you spoil it. You know what your shrink says? You're just trying to get a little attention.
Freddy throws her head and heaves toward Kristen. She dodges, runs up a wall, flips back, and dives through a window. In the house on Elm Street, Kristen tumbles down the staircase. She stands and glances around the entryway to the room.
Nancy!
A flash of white and blizzard fades to Taryn in an old hallway. She rounds a corner, a red neon sign in the distance of an alley reads Jake's Bar. A red glow bathes Taryn. She spins around. On a wall, a graffiti heart reads Taryn plus Freddy. She hurls herself at the wall. She snaps her pocket knives open. She proceeds into the alley. A man in a trench coat and brown hat stands behind a trash can in the alley. He moseys toward her. Light shines on the face of an old man with gray hair. He passes by her. She turns.
Welcome home, Taryn. Look familiar.
Okay, asshole. Let's dance!
Freddy lifts his razor claw. She swipes her knife. He deflects her. He slices her thigh. She stabs him in the armpit. He cowers. She points her knives.
Why should we fight? We're old friends, you and I. Remember?
He lifts his hands. Syringes protrude from his fingertips.
Let's go.
He wiggles his syringe fingertips. She backs away. Needle tracks pucker on her forearms. He shoves his syringe fingers into her arms. The syringe is empty. Freddy's eyes roll back. Veins protrude from her arm and face.
What a
A flash of white and blizzard fades, Will wanders in a tunnel. A light shines behind him.
Hello? You guys? Where are you? Somebody there?
Will foots back. He peers at a wheelchair made of twisted spikes and hooks.
Will, you look tired. Have a seat.
No, thanks. I'm fine just the way I am.
For now, maybe. But when you wake up...
Light glimmers up Freddy's claw.
It's back. In the saddle. Again.
The wheelchair takes off down the narrow tunnel. Will sprints. The wheelchair gains. Will dodges. The wheelchair sideswipes Will. He falls. The wheelchair spins by Freddy.
It's a fair for you, kid!
I am the Wizard Master. I am the Wizard Master!
Will lifts in the air and transforms into a wizard. Green lightning shoots from his fingers, the wheelchair explodes.
In the name of Lorik, Prince of Elves, demon be gone!
Three magic shoots from Will's fingers, the magic engulfs Freddy. Freddy grabs Will and lifts him in the air.
Sorry, kid, I don't believe in fairy tales.
Freddy jabs his claw into Will's chest. Kristen walks through a hallway.
Somebody?
She enters a child's room.
Hello?
Nancy exits a closet.
Kristen! Nancy!
They hug.
What is that? I don't know.
They look at a cracked wall painted with party bears. Kincaid breaks open a gap in the wall.
Yo, I thought I heard voices.
He steps through the wall.
What's stopping you?
She kisses his cheek.
Cool. So where's Joey?
I don't know. This place is like a maze.
And it's time to stop guessing and start missing. Yo, Freddy! Where you hiding at, you burnt face pussy?
Hey, we should find the others first.
You think you hot shit with the little milk kid, don't you? Well, let me see you come get a piece of me. Kruger! Pussy! I knew he was a little chicken.
They turn, the lights dim around them. Light illuminates a large metal door floating in the air.
It's a door.
But it doesn't go anywhere.
Yes, it does.
The door swings open, orange light glimmers from within. They look in. A dark, twisted metal staircase descends into flickering orange and red light.
This is it. Are you ready?
Kristen nods.
You snuffed a sucker.
They descend the staircase. In the salvage yard, cars pile around in a twisted metal heap, the pickup's headlights pierce the dark. Neil grabs a shovel from the truck bed. Mr. Thompson steps out of the truck and lifts his chin.
Sit. Caddy.
A red tail fin of a 1958 Cadillac peeks out from a mountain of rusted cars. Neil slowly approaches the car. Mr. Thompson smokes a cigarette. Neil looks over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He clasps the trunk of the car and pushes up. The trunk remains closed. He wedges a shovel under the clasp and pushes down on the handle. Neil grits his teeth and wedges the shovel further into the trunk of the car. A burlap sack lies in the trunk. Neil looks over his shoulder. Mr. Thompson begins to enter the driver's seat. Neil holds up the keys.
Going somewhere? Look, I said I'd show you where the goddamn thing was. I never said I'd stick around.
We got work to do.
What are you talking about?
You're about to attend a funeral. One that's long overdue.
Neil tosses him the shovel. Kincaid, Kristen, and Nancy enter a boiler room. Red light fills the room. Tunneling pipes travel along a labyrinth of boilers and bones, tied in the middle of the room. Tongues suspend Joey above a fire pit.
Joey!
Nancy and Kincaid whip their heads around. Freddy strolls from behind a boiler. He drags his claw on the metal. Writhing tongues slash at Joey's hands and feet. Freddy leans by him.
Joey, look. All the little piggies come home.
Let him go, Cooper!
Your wish is my command.
No!
Joey!
Freddy gestures to a tongue by his wrist. It unravels. Nancy jumps on a pipe and sidesteps down. Kincaid balances the wobbly pipe. Tongues unravel on his hands and ankles. Nancy lunges for Joey's wrist and grabs him. His feet dangle over the fire pit. Kristen runs and double flips over the burning pit by Freddy and snap kicks him in the face. Freddy snaps up and swipes at her. She front flips. Nancy slides down the edge. Kincaid grabs her and pulls them from the fire pit. Freddy towers over Kristen. Kincaid breaks a pipe from the room and hammers Freddy over the head. He chokes Kincaid and lifts him. Kincaid kicks in the air. Nancy rips a skinny pipe from the wall and spears it in Freddy. Freddy's eyes widen and scarred face glistens. Freddy pulls the pipe forward. He pulls the remainder of the pipe out. Freddy lifts the pipe to his face and licks the tip.
Strong! He's never been this strong!
Yes. The souls of the children. Give me strength.
He rips open his sweater. He reveals his scarred chest. Small faces open and close their mouths.
There's room for more.
His head whips away. The burlap bag drops on the ground. Freddy closes his eyes and disappears. Kincaid falls. In the salvage yard, Neil and Mr. Thompson dig a large hole.
What's that?
What?
Neil's eyes search.
Somebody else is out here.
No. We're alone.
A A headlight from a gray rusted car flashes. A tan car's headlights flash. An engine fan spins. A windshield wiper slaps across glass. Mr. Thompson dashes toward the pickup, he stops. A pile of cars topples onto the pickup, boxing them in.
Bury the fucking thing!
A decayed hand grabs Neil, Freddy's charred bones leap to life. Freddy stalks Neil and swipes at him. Neil holds a hubcap before him. Freddy smacks it away.
It's really you.
Freddy turns.
I killed you once before, you son of a bitch.
Mr. Thompson grabs a pipe and swings it at Freddy. Freddy grabs him by the arm and groin and launches him into the air. A sharp shard of metal impales him. Freddy stomps toward Neil. He lifts the shovel. Freddy slices his chest and clubs him in the dirt hole. Freddy shovels dirt over Neil. Freddy pounds his arms in the air and sinks into the dirt. In a dark hallway crowded with hanged mirrors.
Kristen, can you pull us out?
They sedated me. We're stuck here.
It's a dead end.
What the hell?
Kincaid and Joey pull a mirror. Freddy materializes.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Perhaps if there was more of me to spread around.
Freddy's face floods the mirrors. He smirks and wiggles his tongue. Joey trembles and huddles in a corner. Freddy reaches through a mirror and grabs Nancy. Freddy grips the ankle of Kristen and pulls her leg in the mirror. He clasps Kincaid's head with his claw and pulls him in the mirror. Everyone goes in the mirrors. Joey stands and opens his mouth. Freddy covers his ears. The mirror vibrates and shatters. Everyone flies out into the hallway.
Wow. Did I say that?
You found your dream power, man.
You saved us, Joey.
Man, you blew him away. Oh, put him down, man.
Are you okay?
I think so.
He's gone. It's over!
Nancy turns to see the decayed living room. A golden shimmering light illuminates Mr. Thompson.
Daddy?
You crossed over, princess.
Crossed over?
I couldn't go without telling you. How sorry I am for all the things I've done. I love you so much. I'll always love you.
I'll always love you.
Nancy hugs him. Nancy's eyes widen. Freddy's razored hand stabs Nancy's flesh. He wiggles his claw in her bloody stomach. In the dirt hole, Neil's eyes open. In the dining room, Freddy yanks his razors out of Nancy and points at Kristen. The door slams. He slaps Kristen in the face and stands over her.
You're mine now, piggy!
From behind, Nancy jabs Freddy's claw in his chest. In the salvage yard, Neil crawls out of the dirt hole, blood drips down his face. He pushes Freddy's bones in the hole.
She's good.
ashes.
Neil uncaps the bottle of holy water and sprinkles it on the remains.
Dust to dust.
White holes of light burst through Freddy's sweater.
May the spirits rest.
Neil lays the crucifix in the hole. A cross of light illuminates through Freddy's forehead. Freddy spins in a white ball of light and vanishes. Kristen cradles Nancy on the floor. Kincaid and Joey burst the door down.
I won't let you die. I won't let you. I'm gonna dream you into a beautiful dream. Forever and ever.
She closes her eyes and holds Nancy tight. Daytime, at a funeral.
Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in the tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. Even though we entrust Nancy to the earth, her courage and spirit shall remain with us. For the Lord God has comforted us, saying that whoever finds his life will lose it.
Neil spots the nun.
Life for my sake will find it. They shall live forever in the glory of his kingdom.
He runs after her. He stares at a gravestone.
My God. You were his mother.
It reads, Amanda Krueger, her name in Christ, Sister Mary Helena 1907 to 1968. Nighttime, at Neil's house, Christmas lights glow in a bush, Neil lies in bed. The Malaysian doll and model of the house on Elm Street sit on a table. A light flashes on in the window of the model house. Cast: Nancy Thompson, Heather Langenkamp, Neil Gordon, Craig Wasson, Kristen Parker, Patricia Arquette, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund, Kincaid, Ken Sagos, Joey, Rodney Eastman, Taryn, Jennifer Rubin, Philip, Bradley Gregg, Will, Ira Hayden, Max, Larry Fishburne, Jennifer, Penelope Soudreau, Mr. Thompson, John Saxon, Dr. Elizabeth Sims, Priscilla Pointer, Lorenzo, Clayton Landy, Supervising Sound Editor, R.J. Palmer, Sound Effects Editors, F. Hudson Miller, Kelly Tartan, Ted Goodspeed, Willie R. Allen, Music Editor, Earl Ghaffari, based on characters created by Wes Craven. Credits continue.
Warriors.
Copyright 1987, The Third Elm Street Venture.